joining the line of people straggling towards the village hall. It was lucky I was there, checking every bus. Otherwise, this small girl might have gone all the way back to Southampton. Everybody knew the city was still on fire. We'd seen the smoke from Beacon Hill. She hadn't stirred in spite of my calling. She lay senseless, a gossamer net of light brown hair clinging to her forehead. Her puff-sleeved dress was a dusty mid-blue, the colour of the endpapers in the board books of my childhood. No coat or cardigan, despite it being the first day of December. Just a grimy white blanket tangled round her legs, the kind mothers wrapped their babies in, a special knit, honeycombed with little holes. I shook her small round shoulder. "Wake up, little one. Wake up." Her thumb fell out of her mouth, but she didn't open her eyes. I stroked back her hair. Her skin was warm and slightly damp. Her tongue was ticking against the roof of her mouth. Thumb or no thumb, she was still sucking. Suppose she started crying when I woke her. I had no great experience of tearful children. Perhaps I should simply carry her into the village hall and never mind if she was asleep. I took off my new brooch, a silver bar with a pearl, and put it in my pocket. I didn't want it to scrape the child's face. I slid my hands against her hot sides into her hotter armpits and pulled her towards me. She was amazingly solid, made of denser stuff than the rest of the world. I got one arm round her back and the other under her bottom and hoisted her up. Her head rocked back as far as it would go, forward again to bump against my collarbone. Then her whole body gave a series of jerks, as if a faulty electric current was running through her. Perhaps she'd been hit on the head during the air raid. I should get her to the doctor. The dirty blanket fell down over my feet and I kicked it away and walked with a strange swinging tread down the aisle of the bus. You had to walk this way, I realised, with a child in your arms. There was a powerful odour of Jay's fluid in the bus, but she smelled warm, salty, of new baked bread. Deirdre Harper came out of the village hall, forearms red to the elbow and dripping suds.
"Deirdre, is anyone missing a girl?"
She wiped her hands on her apron and delved in the pocket to produce a single wrinkled cigarette.
"You're having me on, Mrs. Parr. Now I've seen it all. They can't even remember their own kiddies."
"I'm not sure it's like that. Everyone's in shock." Deirdre lit up and exhaled smoke with a wide, down-curving smile of contempt.
"In a funk, more like. Funk is all this is, you know. Look at them, scarpering on the buses instead of staying put in their shelters."
I didn't point out that not everyone in Southampton had shelters. Deirdre had lost her son at the beginning of the war, in the sea off the coast of Norway. She no longer cared what she said, and nobody took her to task.
"They've got tea anyway," I said.
"Yes, the stockpile we were saving for the Christmas carols."
She regarded the child sourly.
"Your Mr. Parr will find that mother of hers. Trained for this, isn't he? Billeting officer and all."
"Yes. I should go in, Deirdre." Just then she sighed and suddenly her eyes filled.
"Christ. Poor bloody Southampton. 15 mile away and such a glow off the clouds last night. It damn near lit me home."
I made my way into the village hall, carrying the child through the crowd of bedraggled, bewildered, noisy people, edging round overturned chairs, youngsters sliding through puddles of spilt tea.
"Whose is this little girl?" I called out. "Has anyone seen her mother?"
Nobody replied. I pushed onward past a squirming terrier, a camp of sleeping babies wedged among baskets and coats, a gang of dishevelled old men making free with a hip flask.
"Is anyone looking for this child?"
I called, louder this time.
"Where are we, doll?"
said one of the old men. Upped